The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. It's Tuesday. That means we have continue our ongoing series with critical theologist Onku Sara, or known as Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, right? He's a critical theologist. That means he analyzes various aspects of various religions, and he put forward a concept of Christianity. I pronounced that right, or I still... The mic, his mic isn't on there, producer. Anku, try it again.
Yeah, you're getting better.
Christianity.
Christianity, yes.
They're getting there, right?
Yeah, man.
And Anku brings some views as we analyze biblical history, biblical vocabulary, ancient vocabulary, and we get to truths that most people would have ignored or just did not know. Today, we're talking about Paul. To me, the basis or the premier character of the Christianity religion. Christianity is based, I mean, of course, it's based on the Christ, on the life of Christ, but in terms of the interpretation of how we view Christ, how we worship Christ, the religion of Christianity is a better word. The religion of Christianity is, especially in this part of the world, the Western world, is based on the views of Paul. Paul, as you know, was not a part of Jesus' disciples. However, he has been, my word here, canonized as being a part of Jesus' apostles. That means the church has adopted Paul's viewpoint and have dubbed him as one of Jesus' apostles, even though he has never met Jesus. On a lonely road in Damascus, there was a man who used to persecute Christians. That means that he used to seek out Christians, those who believe in the Christ or Yeshua, and he used to brutally kill them. He used to dismember them. He was cruel to them because he hated the idea of what Christianity was about. Paul was a Roman. He is a Roman citizen, and he had his own gods and own views of what the then Romans used to do. Right? The Roman emperors saw the religion of Christianity or the followers of Christ as a threat. So they sought out persons like Paul and say, hey, we got to eradicate these people before it takes root. And Paul was good at his job. Then, one day on the lonely road of Damascus, Paul told a story. He told a story that only him once experienced. He said that he saw a light, a bright and shining light, and a voice came from the heavens and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Would I do you so? And of course, Paul got salvation. He converted then. He got baptized. That's what shows that he was converted. He got baptized. And then he established the religion, or solidified a particular religion, or crafted a religion of Christianity, whereas most of Revelations, his opinions, his viewpoints of the Christ is in the Bible. I think Paul has the most books, Romans, Corinthians, Paul, etc. He is what I call the premier apostle of Christ, or what Christianity is based on. So I said, Onku Sara, today's story, today's part of today's analysis will be on analyzing who Paul is. Is there any history or based on him? Or it's just myth, or what I call the Western religion, which means the Catholic Church, their concept of Paul and how we should embrace him. So let me again introduce Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III. Before you start again, I want you to give me like a 30-second summary of your degree so people understand who you are again.
Sure. Good morning, Bahamas. Namaste, which means I bow to the divinity within you. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Calhoun Ankou Sara. I am a priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Bahamas, and we are under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Rev, Dr. A.J. Vama, who we also know as our Basesh, our head scribe, also known as Haruhotep Ta. My degree coming out of the Coptic Seminary is one of critical theology. And this reality of what critical theology is to simply weigh out that which has been placed in front of us and that which we have been told to accept as truth, told to accept as reality, and that which has been placed before us to bring us salvation. You know, as a critical theologist, we understand that our scriptures, our true religious identity, ultimately comes out of Africa, and the records will show this. And so as those of us who understand this reality, we seek to get the Africa out of all of the religions of the world, whereby they borrowed, I'm going to use the word borrowed today, but they really stole them. And they used those pieces of our true religious identity to benefit themselves in a way that would allow for them to control their destiny while telling us we had no religion, that we were savages. And the only way to salvation is to convert to a religious identity that ultimately is not our identity. That on display as we talk about Paul.
And I hear all of that. Yeah. And as we continue this series, I'm learning that even though your religion is close to Christianity, you're only really Christian. You're only like us. And I'm a little uneasy.
Yeah.
Because I had some, who I had yesterday, Aaron?
Israel United in Christ.
And I'm finding that they're more... They're not Christian either.
Hold on. That's what you got. I mean, because first of all, they walk with the Bibles in their hand.
Yeah.
Right.
Every member, but the cameraman, had a Bible to reference. So even though only one person was reading out loud the scripture, they were all reading the scripture at the same time. First of all, that is the epitome of the Christian experience.
No. You can mix up.
Yeah.
That discipline, just like how Uncle Coptic Church and the Hebrew Israelites, I am saying that it don't sound Christian like what I grew up with.
Right.
It don't sound Anglican, Aaron. It don't sound Baptist. It don't sound Methodist.
Precepts,
what I say is Christianity, they don't embrace.
That didn't sound...
That didn't sound
Baptist.
Sound Baptist. That's why I'm going to interrogate Uncle Sarah. Like right. How I interrogate
and that's
the,
why I love coming
the Israel United in Christ when they come on back again.
Yeah.
Because I understand what they're saying, but it don't sound too Christian.
Right.
And this is a Christian society.
Right.
But I want to start off, before we reach the point.
No, you can't just say that and move on.
Right. Yeah,
we got to unpack that.
That's not
really sound Christian.
Yeah. Well, that's, was Jesus Christian?
What do you mean if Jesus
and
Christian?
The crowd goes silent.
No, I got to think about it. No, why are you bringing up Jesus?
Because at the end of the day, right, we holding up this term Christian as if it was a term that the Messiah actually used or his followers actually used. He was never referred to as a Christian.
Where did Christian come from?
Acts 11:26, the first time you see this word Christian is in a place called Antioch. This is not...
That's Paul, right?
Yeah.
No, Paul's going to come and say, go ahead.
This segues right into the discussion of Paul. The Messiah, Yahshua Koresh. So first of all, let's be clear about what's going on. You have parallel doctrines, okay? You have an original way, the way, the truth, and the life, right? Not me, but this is what the Messiah was saying, right? And that way, or that tariq that he was referencing was a way that had been established by an original crucified Savior. This original crucified Savior that we ignore within Christianity today, because it doesn't suit the purposes of the church cult of Caesar that was ultimately repackaged into monotheistic Christianity today. So this African, this black Messiah, see, and that's why we made sure within the actual name of the Holy Coptic Church, we had to put the black Messiah. Because this very Paul, if we go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this Paul is admitting that he is preaching about another Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11.
He's preaching with someone else.
For if he that cometh, this is Paul warning about the true Christians. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Let's stop for a second. So they know that there's another Jesus. This Paul is teaching about another. He's not talking about the original sacrificial shepherd. He's not talking about the one who came out of the lineage of Osiru, whose name is Tutankhamun, who is referred to as the Amen in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. So he is saying, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit. So now there's another spirit. So now you have a Holy Ghost versus a spirit of truth. Yes. And then he goes on to say, which ye have not received, or another gospel. There's another record. There's another. And when they use this word gospel, it's really a composite word of ghost spell. They're casting a spell of ghost. Yes. They are casting a spell of ghost on the indigenous people of the planet. All right. This is referenced in the book of Isaiah. This is before Paul, right? This has been going on for, if we go to Isaiah 29, talks about the siege of Jerusalem. Right? Isaiah 29, so this is the same spirit. All right? If we go now to verse 9 of Isaiah 29, it says, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. This is talking about now our people who are referring to themselves as Christians, not understanding that the Messiah, he warned about those who would call themselves Christians. We can go there next. Isaiah 29:10 says, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. This is where our people are today. And hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. This ain't just the common man. This ain't just the regular person. This is even the men and the women of the cloth. Even their eyes have been covered. They have become the blind leading the blind, as mentioned in Matthew 15, verses 13 to 14, right? The Messiah knew that this day would come. So when we go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, he is warning his disciples. His disciples was trying to figure out what it would be like before he came, right? So Matthew 24, if we start at verse 3, right, these are the signs of the end of the age. This is how they have it in my Bible. Other Bibles may have it titled another way, right? But it says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? You want to know what could happen at the end of the world? And Yahshua, who many refer to as Jesus, answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. He's very clear. What man he talking about? In this day and age, we know he was warning about a Paul. This man, Paul, who was an antichrist. We can go there next, right? Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, let's break that down. The Messiah is saying, people can be calling me Christ. But he was never referred to as the Christ. He was interpreted as the Christ, as you see in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 41, where they say, I have found the Messiah. Let's just go quickly. I want to make sure people who got it and they're writing it down in their Bible, you can mark this. John 1, 41.
It just don't sound Christian, what you're saying.
Or you never got true Christianity. Let's start there. He first findeth his own brother, John 1, 41. right? He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. Somebody was interpreting Messiah as Christ. And Christ knew that this was going to happen. He was warning his disciples that there would be people who would not be calling on the Messiah. And this Christ was who Paul was introducing. And he was sent to the Gentiles. And the Messiah was telling his disciples, do not go to the Gentiles.
Let's put a pause.
Let's go. Pause there.
My Christian faith is based on Jesus being God. I know that the Jehovah's Witness don't have Jesus as God. They say that he was a construct made by God and that he was a chosen, elected person. The Muslims believe that he was a prophet created by God again. But my Christian faith says that Jesus is God. God made flesh. This doctrine, this concept was created and crafted by Paul. Paul is not just a disciple, or in a better word, is not just an apostle of Jesus. He is the founder of Christianity, one of those founders of Christianity. How we view Jesus, how we worship, how the church was established, the Western church was established, is based on Paul. Paul's viewpoint of how he be like. And now if you say that Paul ain't the guy, that means my whole Christianity is kind of false.
So, is it me saying that Paul isn't the guy? Let's hear what the Messiah have to say. Because it ain't about what Dr. Cleolinius III is saying, right? In the book of John, right, chapter 14, this conversation about a comforter is being had between the Messiah and his disciples. And in verse 16, it says, John 14 and 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So the Messiah was also referred to as a comforter. All right? But then he goes on to say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So this is actually the Messiah. When you say, well, Jesus is God. Well, what did Jesus?
What did Jesus say?
He asked, and then we're gonna circle back to Paul, right? In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 34. He said, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? All right, I'm just pulling it up, right? John chapter 10, right? And he says in verse 34, Jesus answered them, and let me go back just for context sake, right? They wanted to stone him, right? John chapter 10 and 30, the Messiah is saying, I and my Father are one. Now, when he said this, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They won't waste this way. Mm-hmm. What you mean? You ain't God. What you talking about?
Okay.
It's the Messiah. It's the red writing, right? Yahshua answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Why you want hit me? Why you want to brace me with rock? But tell me what it is that I said that was wrong. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. So then what does the Messiah say? Yahshua answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? You embrace me for something within your law? What law was he talking about? He is going back to the law and the prophets. When you go to the book of Psalms, chapter 82, in Psalms 82, verse 6 is where the Messiah would have been quoting from. And this is the same thing we, as critical theologists, like we are trained to teach like the Messiah taught. It's a revolutionary spirit that goes against what people have been brought up with, right? In Psalm 82, verse 6, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So, being a God, this means you are of those who are a part of this bloodline called the Natru Elohim. This is important because if you go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, a lot of people, we talk about the Amen, but what was the Amen doing? Revelation 3 and 14, and unto the church, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So the Amen was at the beginning of the creation of God. This Amen, he was of the celestial genealogy. What do we mean by that? If we go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, it talks about these are the Genesis 2 and 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So there was chromosomes, physical bodies, noses, lips, some would say nappy hair or kingly or queenly hair, in the heavens before it was on earth. The Amen was of that seed that was creating those who would be in the image and after the likeness of those who were in the heavens, whereby Revelation 3:14 says the Amen was there at the beginning of the creation of God, at the beginning of the creation of the earthly Elohim, the earthly Natru Elohim. So this Messiah, because I don't want to lose where he was going, right? This Messiah, when he's talking to his disciples about the Spirit of Truth, he goes on to say in John 14 and 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Is Paul a Comforter?
No, he ain't the Holy Ghost.
Okay, so the Messiah is saying that the Spirit of Truth, who we're referencing now in the King James Version as the Holy Ghost, that is going to be who is going to teach you. Now, what Paul and the writers who put together the New Testament, who put together the Septuagint, what they wanted to do is remove the actual image and the physical aspect of who the Spirit of Truth was and create a ghost. Hence the ghost spell, the gospel. This doctrine of a wind coming in and teaching people, this doctrine of not really knowing who it is you're dealing with, it allows for them to put forth a Greco-Roman doctrine using the template of the Africans. See, the Africans, what we always did is we had images. Yes, we would actually have carvings of our ancestors, so there was no confusion about who was speaking.
That's why we refer to Putin's Black Messiah now.
Right?
No, but I'm just saying, that's why we refer to Putin's Black Messiah, because they have the carvings and the images.
Right, and Putin them only taken from, again, these original, the first church, when these guardian angelic hosts came to earth, the first church they set up was called Obed. That's where the word Obeah come from. You understand? This Obed, you can look it up. It's in Sudan today. They have a church called Obed in Sudan today. Of course, the Catholics trying to claim it. But this Obed is where we set up this tabernacle in order to maintain our true religious identity. We understood that this would be the problem. Hence, the book in 1 John 4 and 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit. This is what we as critical theologists, we don't believe every spirit. It says, but try the spirits. They are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Then it says,
No, go ahead. Cut it short.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in Paul's doctrine or not?
No. How would I? Why would I? Because it's Paul's doctrine. The Messiah has a doctrine. The Messiah has a message. You understand? Paul is a admitted liar.
What you mean Paul is a liar?
Romans chapter 3, verse 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? If my lie working to help the church grow, what you calling me a sinner for? You understand?
I would like to use some more relevant, like, think about it. Like, if we use the names Brave Davis and Fred Mitchell in this, just think about it for a second. Would it make sense?
I don't know.
I know where you're trying to call my MPD inside this whole thing. But Peter had some exchanges with Paul, where Peter challenged Paul once or twice, right? Paul rebuked him, right? There are some Catholics who believe their religion started on Peter, the rock. And then, of course, the people in Corinthians, those Corinth people, religion started based on Paul, right? I've just learned that... Luke. Luke was not an apostle
of the Messiah
of Jesus either.
No. I'll tell you why. So Luke was in the Middle East either. I don't know one person named Luke born in that region.
Well, we got to anglicize it. But I'm saying that Paul nor Luke never met Jesus.
There you go.
But their doctrine is engraved, is in woven in as part what we see Christianity is, right? Mm-hmm. But how can people who never met Jesus, who got the story secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand, be so premier? How did that happen?
That happened over many years of what's called cultural diffusion. When the Greeks and the Romans, because see, the Messiah, when they use this word Jews, they're not talking about the tribe of Judah. They're making, they're actually talking about these Hellenistic Jews, these Greek Jews, who were actually ruling during the time of the Messiah. See, one of the things they do to confuse us is they make us think that the Messiah and the doctrine of the Messiah was nowhere in what they call the Old Testament, but that this doctrine of the Messiah was only in the New Testament, even though the Messiah was making reference to the Old Testament, right? But he was actually versing the Greeks. This is why when you go to John 1 and 41 and they talk about those who are interpreting the Messiah as Christ, the word Christ, this Greek word, is what is being introduced. This wasn't the Romans yet. The Romans come 300 years after. And what's taking place is that you have this Flavian dynasty who later comes on after this interpretation. They talk about this interpretation of Christ. You have this Josephus, this Arius Calpurnius Piso. He is a part of the Flavian dynasty. This is a Roman dynasty. And they are putting together a narrative to best suit the wishes of their Roman Caesars. This is why you have Caesar being mentioned in the New Testament, when it's supposed to be a story about this so-called Jewish Messiah, this African Messiah of the tribe of Judah, who they refer to as Judah, right? And they're taking the narrative. This pen, he uses the pen name of Josephus. So every time you go into the Strong's Concordance and you look up a word, they reference in Josephus. They reference in Homer, they reference in the Iliad, they reference in these books that were utilized to create what they call the complete works of Josephus. The complete works of Josephus were used to create, so this would be their historic, this is where they're creating themselves in history in order to then use that history that they've created to then write a Bible called, first of all, the Septuagint. So this would be where the Old Testament, they say, is. New Testament, coming out of the works of Josephus. You had the antiquities of the Jews and the wars of the Jews in the complete works of Josephus, right? So this Josephus, he and his family were all of the Josephs, the Marys, the Jesuses. They literally were writing a play. And then using that to create this narrative of the Bible. You understand? But they don't call it the Bible. They say it's a version of the Bible. See, the devil is very subtle. The devil will tell you, I never gave you the Bible. I gave you a version of the Bible. So everybody in here walking around with a version of the Bible and quoting it like it's the Bible, the Holy Coptic Church is saying, no, we have the original books of the Bible.
So you're saying my Holy Bible says a version of it?
I'm saying that if you'd use my suggestion of Brave and Mitchell, you'd understand what he's saying far more clearly.
Let me read this into
trouble.
Yeah, let me read this into the record, right? just so we have some reference, let me get back to my phone. Right. I see you mentioned your Bible and my Bible, suggesting that it's different Bibles, but I got to let that slide for now. So a definition of Paul said Paul was a follower of Jesus Christ, right, who was famously converted to Christianity on the road to Damascus after persecuting the very followers of the community that he joined. However, as we will see, Paul is better described as one of the founders of the religion rather than converted to it. So as part of church history, Christianity history, right, it says that Paul is not a convert to the religion itself. He is one of the persons who created the religion itself in terms of worship, the history of it, because his works, Acts, Paul, Romans, are all his works, what he wrote, which we include inside the Bible, which shaped our view of the Jesus and the Christ and religion in general. I'm going to ask you this. How important it is to know Bible history when worshiping? Is history important? Because now you've given me history context, right?
Right.
Of what happened. Then Paul would say, don't worry about the history.
Right.
Just worship, man. Because shouldn't it just be enough just to worship?
No, because the fact of the matter is, and it's a very good question, if you were to historically try to prove that there is a Paul, you would never be able to prove that there was a Paul. There is no Paul in reality. You understand? But the reality is, the historical Paul is this Josephus, who they say is this great historian, right? But then that was just a pen name, right? Then you go and do research on him, Arius, Calpurnius, Piso. Now you get to the Piso family. And then they say Paul wrote epistles. Yes? Mm-hmm. The root of the word epistle is this word, Piso. And these letters were not letters to outfit a holy book. These were military letters. These were military communications.
Yeah.
Right? That's why he was saying he was writing letters to Damascus. Right? If you go to Acts chapter 9, I think it is, right? It talks about these letters that Paul was writing, because Paul was like CIA, right? Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul, right? Acts 9:1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. These letters are the same, that's the same word epistle, right? He was using these letters to actually destroy true Christianity, right? Christianity. What gets me now is that there are people in this day and time who are thousands of years from this incident, and they are swearing for Paul. But in Acts 9:26, the people who walk with the Messiah, the people who were taught mouth to ear by the Messiah, Acts 9:26, and says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He won't join now. You mean killing us, but now you won't join, right? But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. The very people who walked with the Messiah believed he wasn't a disciple. But us in 2024, we know he was a disciple.
But see, Paul trumps them. Paul no, trumps Paul, Matthew, Mark. Because he's Paul.
No, Paul, what you read earlier was an admission of guilt. Because Paul, they say, was a creator. How could he be the creator and Messiah was before him? That he was creating a religion means that he was stepping away from the teachings of the real and living Messiah, Yeshua Christ, and that also too can be seen in Scripture.
We got to take a short commercial break. Cole, I see you. I'm going to let you engage you as soon as we come back from the break. I want to read this. Say, Paul the Apostle is known for his many letters written that are included in the Bible for the preaching the message of Christ to the Gentiles throughout his missionary work. I just want to use that. This is what Paul is known for. All his letters back and forth, and that is also primarily included inside the New Testament. But we'll take a break and let Uncle Sarah comment on that. This is Guardian Radio AM. We are doing our interrogation again. Uncle seems to have an issue with Paul, and I said, man, Paul is my guy. Right? But we'll be right back.
Excitement, the fierce competition, the entertainment. On May 4th and 5th, our Bahamian athletes will compete with hundreds of the best from around the world to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics.
Gardner takes the title.
Come witness history as our athletes chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the 2024 World Athletic Relays. May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. 300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Happy birthday to you.
On Wednesday, April 10th, Guardian Radio 96.9 is turning 12. Every day for 12 years, Guardian Radio has given the Bahamas fresh news and smart talk. Join all the Guardian Radio hosts as they celebrate Guardian Radio's anniversary all day, Wednesday, April 10th, starting with Morning Blend and special guests, the Royal Bahamas Police Force Pump and Marching Band. There's a party going on right here. Guardian Radio's 12th anniversary broadcast is sponsored by El Shaddai Party Rentals, Dunkin' Donuts, Tropical Gyros, Drifters, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Bristol Wine and Spirits.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Call again.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. Of course, I said I was going to go straight to the caller, and the caller is there. So patch the caller through, producer, so we can engage your life.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning to your guests.
Morning, good morning. Morning.
Your guest just made a statement just now about how people are swearing for Paul like thousands of years after the event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see, I think that like that's one of the big problems we have nowadays, because like if someone told me that someone around the corner selling Canep, I never been on the corner, right? But I believe them and I accept this as truth, right? And I walk down the road and I buck someone else who's been told that around the corner someone selling tomato. Right, and they believe that wholeheartedly. Like neither of us have been around the corner, right? But now we're in an argument over what they're selling around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We don't know around the corner, but because we are upholding someone else's doctorate, etc. Now we're in a debate that we can't even really find no truth to, because none of us has been around the corner. You understand? So we're trapping this in this cycle of this ignorance that has no end, because we are arguing things that has no end, really and truly.
No, well, what is truth? What do you mean no one has been around the corner? I just want to be clear about what you're saying.
Yeah, the point I'm making is that the information that individuals are defending is what they have been told by someone else and not what they have seen for themselves.
So let me stop you right there, Carlo.
Thank you for much, Carlo. Let me address it.
No, I have more to say.
Okay, hold on.
I just want to say.
I need to ask me a question. I want to hear his question.
Right. Think of it as the information that we as the Holy Coptic Church or any other group, think of it as ingredients for a cake, right? You take the ingredients and you mix those ingredients in the proper proportions, and you put those proper proportions in the oven at the right temperature, and you bake the cake, then you have effectively experienced that ingredient or that formula, right? As opposed to two people who just talking about the ingredients, you have to be the ones who actually make the cake, taste the cake, experience the cake, and this is what true religion is about. This is what the Messiah was bringing. He was saying you have to experience or live like I live. Pick up your cross. You understand? And so that is what we at the Holy Coptic Church are not only bringing to your attention, but saying this is what we're doing. This is not something, we're not talking about what happened around the corner. We're saying, as a critical theologist, I've been around the corner. How do you go around the corner today? You got to go to the libraries. You got to go to the museums. You got to go feel and touch the actual relics that existed during those times and see it with your own eyes and study it in order to be able to have these discussions. So go ahead.
I understand what you're saying, right? But in actuality, if you put it to the thing I made, the place was still like baking that cake. Would be the person guy around the corner and experience that for themselves, you see.
Right.
What I wanted to ask you is, when you talk about the comforter or like et cetera, right, who's supposed to come forward, right? Is this individual gonna be taught by existing doctrines that exist, or will this individual be able to say, no man has taught me but the father who has created me, and the knowledge that I bring is straight from him? Or is this individual gonna be bringing a message that has been taught to them by someone else, you know, already? You know what I mean? I have so much I can't get my mind together. But when you were talking about in the heavens were created before we came down here, etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel as if that is a part of us that is being neglected. You know what I mean? Because we are born in a certain month, and our month carry a certain zodiac sign, and the zodiac sign is related to the constellation up in the heavens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as if these things are very telling to us, and I feel as if, like, even in the Bible, when the Bible talks about ages, when the Bible talks about the 2,000 years, a lot of Christians don't understand that the reason why the 2,000 years is so relevant is because it deals with the movement of the sun as it moves through the constellations up in the heavens. But people, they're not taught that.
Right.
You see, they're not taught to appreciate these things and how these things affect us and how these things are related to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And had they been taught these things, then they would begin to see things differently, you see, because, mm-hmm. and like I said the last time, you want how these religious leaders are joking and how they don't talk about the things that are relevant to us. Like, for example, the Jehovah's Witness, I'll take them since they were mentioned today, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would knock on our doors, right? And they would talk about things that, where they disagree or where they have differences with the Christianity that we kind of know, and that's why people get surprised when I pick up one of their books the other day. It's called Revelation is Grand Climax at Hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, it talks about, it explains Revelation, and it talks about the seven-headed beast with the horns, et cetera. And what's interesting is that one of the beasts with the seven heads and the two horns is actually the Anglo-Saxon unification, which is American England, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why I found that to be so relevant is because our leaders to this day still swear to the England, which is one head, which is one part of the beast, and America is so influential to us, which is another part of the beast. So we are like in the belly of the beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't talk about those things, but in the Bible, the main focus of the Bible itself is world powers and your subjection to the ways of foreigners. And that's why in the Bible it says, envy not your oppressor and take part in none of his ways. But we live in a country too where these people are so ignorant, and I mean, they say things without thinking. Because they'll say things like, oh, if my people who are called by my name, like as if we are the people who are chosen, right? But then they would admit that the people over in Israel is the chosen people and that we over here are Gentiles. I mean, like they backwards and forwards and upside down and which way direction, like we don't know which we're doing. So like I say, I feel as if we need to start dealing with things that are relevant to us, things that broadens our horizon and gives us a greater appreciation.
I agree, Carla.
Of the book and et cetera, stuff like that. There's so much more things I want to say.
Yeah.
But thank you very much. I want to answer the question.
Sure. So
will the individual be taught
mm-hmm.
by people, by existing doctrine, or will the individual be able to come and say, no man has taught me, and what from the source itself? Thank you very much.
Yes. If you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, the Messiah is being called after the order of Melchizedek, all right? And it says here that no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, all right? Verse 5 says, so also Christ, or this Christ, glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Verse 6, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, Though he were a son, he learned, keyword learned, he obedience by the things which he suffered. So this person would be taught, they will say, has neither beginning or ending of days, nor a mother or father, because it is a seat. It is a seat that is sat in one who has the genetic potency to actually raise to the level of a Melchizedek, as we talked last week. This one who, in the world of Freemasonry, they'll say 33 over 720, right? He has the full understanding of spiritual and physical knowledge, whereby he would have an order to bring forth those like the Messiah. Messiah wasn't the only comforter. He said, I got to send another comforter. If you look up the names of the prophets who came before the Messiah, their names also translate in some instances to comforter. So he would be taught. He would be taught by this order of Melchizedek. In the book of Genesis, it talks about Noah walking with God, Enoch walking with God. This idea that these men and women, because you know the Greeks, they don't like women, so they always move the women out of the way, right? But they actually walked with those who were keepers of an everlasting covenant, starting with the covenant of the bow, the covenant of circumcision, the covenant of the promise, and then you had the covenant of this sacred bread called the Eucharist, four different covenants. So these covenants, or everlasting covenants, were in existence even before the earth, because we had these covenants in the heavens, whereby this way of being at one with your divinity was necessary in order for you to be able to be like those who created you. So, yes, he would have to have been taught by a doctrine that was already in place, because he was after the order of the Most High, as Hebrews chapter 7 makes reference to. So, yes, we have to be taught. No one is going to stand up and just say, no, I am getting it straight from God. That's ghost worship again.
I know Aaron text. Has a text, right? But yeah. I'm going to ask you a question before then.
Mm-hmm.
I hinted towards how different religions view Jesus, the Christ, our Savior, right? Some believe that he's a prophet. Some believe that he's a chosen, elected one. And then, of course, Christianity believes that he is God incarnated on earth, mm. That he's praying to himself whilst he's praying, talking to himself at the same time,
mm.
Right? You mentioned at and in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
In the Christianity, is the God or God, which is Jesus, the same as the creator, which created the heavens and the earth? And is the gods mentioned in the heavens and the earth that was created by the I am? I quickly do that because I got to go back to Aaron. Sorry.
And that's we're referring back to an earlier conversation we would have had, right? Because yes. I think you've answered that before. Yeah,
because creators, these Elohim, the natural Elohim, they like us in terms of how they look and how they function, but they are of a higher mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical potency. So even though they look like us, they're able to produce on a different level than we are. So because we can't produce at their level, we say, oh, that's God. You understand? Today, it still happens. The Greeks and the Romans have just turned God into Olympian. You understand? So now if you are able to run faster or throw further or jump higher, you're seen as one of the gods. You're seen as one of the Olympians. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so this reality of who and what God is, the confusion comes in when we escape Exodus 23 and 13, where it says, honor thy father and thy mother, so that thy days can be long in the land that I've given you. If we all were referencing our mothers and fathers, we could all live in harmony and be respectful of each other and understand that just as your mothers and your fathers are your creators or your God, so too are mine. You understand? And I don't have to look to your parents for my salvation. I have my own parents. I have my own scriptures. I have my own doctrine. But Paul is saying, Hebrews 6 and 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God. He is saying that the doctrines of our ancestors are dead, but we must follow his ancestors. We must follow the Caesars, as mentioned in Philippians 4 and 22. These seals of Caesar. So they got us worshiping Caesar. All them statues were over the Vatican. Those are Caesar's. ancestors. They ain't our ancestors.
Okay. I see we have a text here. Go ahead, read that, Aaron.
Morning. I always thought of Paul as sexist, but are you about to postulate that Paul pulled off the biggest hoax by using his unwitnessed personal story of salvation to infiltrate the threat of Christianity from the inside out? If so, with all the persecution he then faced, he would be the greatest actor ever. I still think he infused his personal opinions into his teachings in the name of God / Christ. The text has said, I'm looking forward to today's show.
Yeah.
Another text.
But that's precisely what he did. And if you go and you read the various conversion stories, we don't have time to go through them today, but Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. In one instance, he's the only one who fell down. In another instance, everybody fell down. In another instance, he heard the voice. And no one else heard the voice. In another instance, other people heard the voice. He's saying that that Jesus told him to go to the Gentiles, but then Jesus told his own disciples, don't go to the Gentiles. So that's exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm. Another text, the person mm-hmm. will learn through suffering. I think they're referring to the comforter. The former question, how will the comforter be taught?
Yes, it because says, you have to pick up your cross.
Right.
Matthew 10:38 says, pick up your cross and follow me. You're going to suffer just like the Messiah did. And that, through the suffering, you would then get to the level of understanding the works of the Messiah. And then in John 14:12, it says you will do even greater works than the Messiah.
Another text here says, after the eclipse, this has been a very revealing, informative set of shows. From Dwight to Nuri, the eclipse impacted these shows today. Information revealed. Another text, great shows.
The eclipse that happened in
1974, I think.
There's an article in a 1970 newspaper that says the next eclipse will be in 2024. Mm-hmm. But in 1970, this is when the seven seals were being unloosed.
Interesting.
Another text. Tell your guests, I don't think Judas was the only person to betray Christ. Someone else had to be involved or knew Judas was a snitch.
Well, Yahshua knew he was a snitch. He said, the one who's going to betray me, he's going to dip his bread in the cup. But I got to let him do what he got to do.
Let him do what he got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Paul preached to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
The Gentiles, they say, is us.
No.
Now, mind you, hold on.
Yeah.
Now, the Israelites who have been here yesterday said they are a tribe of Benjamin. All us people in West Africa, we are not grandfathered in.
Right.
We are part of the chosen people.
Right.
But there are people who say, no, we are part of the Gentiles. And if Paul's doctrine is, I'm creating this religion for the sake of the Gentiles so they can be included in, so they can find salvation.
He's talking about his seed. He was talking about the Greco-Romans. Romans 11 makes reference to that. They was grandfathering them into the original covenant and saying that the original seed didn't want the covenant, so they was coming to take it. We don't have time to read Romans 11 right now, but when you talk about these Gentiles, you're talking about, they say, the isles of the Gentile, Genesis 10:5. Genesis 10:4 says, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim, by these were the isles of the Gentiles. Well, who is Javan? This word, Javan, is the word Yawan, and they say it means Ionians, that is the Greeks. The Greeks are the Gentiles, not the Africans, not the original three groups of 12 royal tribes of Ishmael, not Ishmaeli, but Ishmael, Israel, not Israeli. And Midiani, not Mitani. So they have literally paralleled their doctrine to ours. Ishmael is not the same as Ishmaeli. The Greeks are Ishmaeli. The Africans are Ishmael. But remember, Genesis 3:1 says that this serpent, this beast, he was the most subtle. The serpent was the most subtle of all the beasts. Revelation 12:9 talks about this serpent coming to earth and deceiving. Woe be unto the earth, woe be unto the seas. And then you learn that this Satan ends up in church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about this devil being an angel of light. If you go to verse 13, and I know we're wrapping up right now, it makes reference to the fact that this Satan, who is an angel of light, right? And no marvel, 2 Corinthians 11:14, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be their works, and the end of their works is death, according to Proverbs 14:12, that talks about a way that seems right, but its way leads unto death. And that is the curse we're under in this country if we don't wake up.
I appreciate this. I ain't sure if I'm able to abandon Paul right so. But I appreciate
it. Ain't about abandoning Paul. It's about embracing.
Yes. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.